Good morning, everyone. Let's pray for a billion-dollar rain this weekend. Won't you please be seated? You notice that the liturgical colors have changed this past Sunday to green for Trinity season. It's the longest season in the church calendar, many, many, many weeks, and it symbolizes growth, and particularly growth in our faith. I do want to remind you, I think it's been fairly well advertised in our website and everything about the two funerals coming up at the end of this week for our beloved friend John Fryer. The funeral on Friday at 2 o'clock, and Grania, of course, Robin's funeral at 1 o'clock on Saturday. So God bless our parish community, and God bless both of you in particular. Our parish picnic is going to be this coming Sunday, and you might have seen a bit of a promotion about that earlier on if you came early to service, but you're asked to bring either a salad or a dessert and perhaps some lawn chairs. We'll have the worship inside and then go into the back garden for the picnic and some games. And if you forget anything, please, by all means, come to worship and stay for the picnic. There'll be plenty of food to go around. I've only got two more Sundays here where I'm formally interim minister. Of course, I'll be here, God willing, for years to come after that as a regular parishioner, but not next Sunday, Father's Day parish picnic, but the last Sunday where I'll be preaching for a little while. I've gone back over the files and gone down memory lane, and there's a sermon that I preached one of the last Sundays I was here as rector. I would say that it's probably the most controversial sermon I've ever preached, but there wasn't huge negative feedback after at all. But I'm going to dust that off, and if you'd like to come and hear that, the title is, I, God, Delight in Being a Woman. So you can think about that, all right, and think of some biblical references. And I won't tell you who we've got to blame. There is a story behind that whole subject. Let me see. I think I've said everything I need to, so let us now continue with our worship.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God,
to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name,
through Christ our Lord.
Amen. O God, you have assured the human family of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Savior. Deliver us from the death of sin and raise us to new life in him who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Romans. The promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. It is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs. Faith is null, and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all of us, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said, so numerous shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore, his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now the words, "it was reckoned to him," were written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over to death for our trespasses and was raised for our justification. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
With you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great gale arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you,
Lord Jesus Christ.
Please be seated. I was in a small sailboat last summer when it turtled. Many boats can tip over, but turtling is much worse. Turtling a boat doesn't mean that it just gently lists to one side. Turtling means that it goes absolutely upside down, so that the mast, which once pointed to the heavens, now is pointing straight down to Davy Jones' locker. Fortunately for me, it was a small sailboat, the all-Canadian Laser, built for its speed. The water was warm, I was in my swimsuit, and it took only about 20 minutes to right the boat.
Is that you?
That is not me. I couldn't find a... Good question. No, I'd be hiking out much further, the boat would be going twice as fast. That's how I can tell. Thank you for asking that. I'm not going to get into all the difficulties, but turtling a boat is when the top and the mast is much heavier than the bottom. There's a lack of balance. So in the case of this Laser, which is the fastest one-person boat going, there is an enormous sail and mast and relatively tiny hull. Not a keel, just a small dagger board going about that far down into the water to keep it upright. Most boats are designed to prevent them from flipping over. They have something which is called ballast, a heavy weight at the bottom. On a sailboat, it's normally a huge keel that goes deep and heavy. On a cargo ship, the captain may take on ballast preparing for stormy seas. Sand, water, the cargo itself, they load the ship or the boat down fairly low in the lake or the ocean, so it is not as vulnerable to the wind and waves. Now, all of this extra weight slows the craft down enormously, but it usually arrives safely. One of the best known ever vessels in North American history was the famous Mayflower. Just over 400 years ago, in 1620, it sailed from England's shores to Plymouth Rock, Massachusetts. It carried 120 settlers, many of them pilgrims escaping religious persecution in Europe. There is a replica of the Mayflower. I bet you can't guess its name. Mayflower 2. Very imaginative. And if you go down into the belly of the replica, you might be surprised because it is almost open-spaced. But at the very bottom, rim to rim to rim, filling almost every square centimeter, is filled with oak barrels. And there's a plaque there to explain what the oak barrels are about. To survive the 66-day journey across the Atlantic, drinkable water, potable water, and food supplies were needed in abundance. The oak barrels were filled then with food and water. And every time one of the barrels was emptied, it would be refilled, but this time with seawater. This was the second function for the barrels, to be the ballast in the bowels of the ship, to stop it from tipping right over on those fierce Atlantic storms, to stop it from being blown sideways far off course. I'm convinced that human beings need ballast as well. Two Sundays ago, we were looking at encouraging Disney-like dreams, thinking larger than life, to dream the impossible dream. And this morning, while not denying one iota of those words, we have an added focus, more down to earth, practical, cautious even. In the gospel reading, the disciples were frightened out of their wits. They were caught out in a small boat in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. Waves were pouring in over the gunwales so that it was being swamped. There were a number of them were fishermen. Even they, with all of their expertise, were thinking that their lives were in peril. And who should be with them? Well, none other than Jesus himself. Asleep. Can you imagine that? Asleep in the storm at the back of the boat with his head on a pillow. And when the disciples woke him up, he rebuked them, not the disciples. He rebuked the winds and the waves. I suppose if we were very cynical, he might have better said, "Here, my friends, take on these Kapok life-saving jackets. Put them on and you can't even drown if you wanted to." But they didn't have life jackets back then, of course. So he scolded the waves, the winds calmed down, and there was a sudden dead calm. These frightened for their lives disciples stood in awe. "Even the wind and the sea obey him," says the Bible. Now, we can look at that passage and many, many others like it and read it in a couple of quite different ways. One is the out-and-out miracle interpretation. What Jesus is reported to have done is nothing short of a miracle. By the power of who he was, the very Son of God, he stretched out his arms and everything became a calm around him, especially the waters. He saved lives, literally. Well, there are many other theologians and Christians, too, who have another interpretation. Whenever the disciples, whenever any people are in the presence of Jesus, they feel calm, collected, empowered. Jesus' very presence amongst them reassured them. And of course, us. His words, his deeds, his actions always inspired confidence. So when Jesus was awakened in the boat, the passengers stopped panicking and started bailing. And they got to the shore in safety, both they and the ship. Thinking ahead many centuries after that, the Mayflower arrived safely too with those pilgrims. They were the first dedicated settlement in the New World. They held worship services three times a day on the boat. They knew that Jesus was their unseen passenger traveling that perilous journey with them. All of this, whether we interpret the gospel passage in a very literal or perhaps a metaphorical way, invites us to search out what our spiritual ballast might be in times of trouble, when things are unraveling, either for us as individuals or members in our family, or dare I say, even within our cultures today, because of all the culture wars that are going on amongst us. This whole subject of spiritual balance first came to my mind when I was reading a story written about something that happened near the end of the Second World War. A newspaper article described in 1944 Albert Speer. You might have heard of him, maybe not. He was Hitler's ruthless yet brilliant minister of armaments. The article in the newspaper says this: Speer symbolizes a type of person, the pure technician, the classless, bright young man without background or morals. It is the lack of spiritual ballast and the ease by which he handles the terrifying machinery of destruction in our age, which make him the type to go extremely far nowadays. The Spears of this world will long be with us. What a frightening thought, isn't it? Technocrats, many of whom have no depth, no morals, no spiritual ballast, are here to stay. I'm reluctant to use quotes that are over 80 years old, but I think that quote, just put in some other names that you've read about or heard about in the news rather than Albert Speer's, you know, it rings as true now as it did back then. I'm not just thinking about some of our politicians in the States and in Canada and in Russia and in Britain. I mean, even in Ukraine itself, which I have the highest support for, even Zelensky had to get rid of 5 or 6 of his politicians earlier on this year because of corruption. These people don't make the mark for integrity, and yet they're supposedly our leaders. I'm thinking, too, of the technocrats who are designing the AI programs, which, used in wrong hands, have the ability to totally undermine democracy, to turn it upside down, to turtle all of our values. But there is a spiritual ballast. We discover it week by week from our faith. I'd lunch this week with a man sitting in our church today, won't even point, reads his Bible daily. He's trying to get through all of the 66 books of the Bible in 1 year. We embrace it in worship. We discover it in prayer. We find it when we focus on the person of Jesus Christ. Let some of these thoughts this morning help make a wee difference in the world. Let us invite Christ to be our unseen presence in every encounter, in every decision. Slow down for a moment and ask, what would the Lord Jesus Christ want me to do in this situation? In every encounter, whether it be financial or social or political, take a second to reflect, is this me at my very best? It's a pretty heavy question to ask, isn't it? Ballast sometimes slows us down. It's not too sexy. It's not so exciting. I bought a laser sailboat so I could fly as fast as the wind. Sometimes we do want to throw caution to the wind, experiment. So are wild oats. In moderation, it is good to reach and to stretch. But today, stability wins out. We are more than faceless technocrats. We are a people who invite Jesus to enter into our lives. We are a pilgrim people facing uncharted waters, but have the Lord with us. We will not let the Albert Speers of this world have the last word. Amen.
Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, and the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. In a posture that's meaningful for you, let us pray. As the community of God's people, let us focus our attention and still our bodies to pray, saying, God of wisdom,
give us the word of life.
Holy One, we have heard your words and your challenge to build our lives wisely on the bedrock of faith. May all of us who profess to be Christians act on what we have heard. Bless and inspire all who preach and teach the faith, and make our worship pure and holy and acceptable to you. God of wisdom,
give us the word of life.
Holy One, we are conscious of the double standards and inconsistencies in our world, and ask for hearts to be opened to hear you and recognize the wisdom of your law of love. We ask you to strengthen and encourage each attempt to govern with your principles and deal justly with your sense of mercy. God of wisdom,
give us the
Holy One, we want to take more seriously our community commitment to our children. Show us what needs to be started, developed, or changed in our attitudes to one another and in the way we help one another's faith to grow. God of wisdom,
give us the word of life.
Holy One, the needs and concerns of all who suffer are our concern. We stand alongside them in prayer and remember especially Sylvia Brightwell, Val Tucker, Serena, and Laura Manius. May we strive to address the imprisoning poverty and hunger of much of our world and involve ourselves in the comfort, help, and healing we ask of you. God of wisdom,
give us
Holy One, we commend to your love and mercy those who have died to this earthly life, remembering especially today John Fryer and Robin Shearer. We thank you for lives well lived and love shared. Bring them and us in our turn safely to heaven. God of wisdom, Holy One, we thank you that we can build strong lives on the rock of Christ. Build us up in your love and wisdom. Accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We give you thanks and praise, Almighty God, through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. He is your living Word through whom you have created all things. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh of the Virgin Mary and shared our human nature. He lived and died as one of us to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. In fulfillment of your will, he stretched out his hands in suffering to bring release to those who place their hope in you. And so he won for you a holy people. He chose to bear our griefs and sorrows and to give up his life on the cross that he might shatter the chains of evil and death and banish the darkness of sin and despair. By his resurrection, he brings us into the light of your presence. Now with all creation, we raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name.
Holy, holy,
holy, holy,
Lord, God of all, and earth are full of your glory.
Hosanna in the highest.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna,
Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest.
Holy, 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 Lord God of all.
Holy and gracious God, accept our praise through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who in the night he was handed over to suffering and death, took bread and gave you thanks, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This is my blood, which is shed for you. When you do this, you do it in memory of me." Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection, we offer you this bread and this cup, giving thanks that you have made us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit upon the offering of your Holy Church. Gather into one all who share in these sacred mysteries, filling them with the Holy Spirit and confirming their faith in the truth, that together we may praise you and give you glory through your servant, Jesus Christ. All glory and honor are yours, Father and Son, with the Holy Spirit in the Holy Church, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and glory, forever and ever. Amen.
you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest nights, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
My life laid down.
Standing, let us pray. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the Church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. The blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Amen.